Audio Gravity, 11th of September 2009. First link today, rapid fire six URLs today because we're playing catch up, is derpy.com. They've got this little Python script which is quite neat in that it converts YouTube videos to high quality MP3s. So I presume that the original video file has to be fairly high quality to make a high quality MP3. But if you're looking for a quick and dirty utility, so that you can post the YouTube URL in and rip the audio from and save that as an MP3, check out Derpy, derpy.com. I've put the link in the show notes as well because it's got a studio.py and then a question mark after it, so it actually you need a direct link to it. I don't think it's linked off the main site. I'll have to check on that. Next link today is over on createapositivemood.com. So what this guy's done, I presume it's a guy, from the way it is written out. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me have a quick look. Maybe it's not, because there's little Christmas boxes at the bottom. They're putting together this project, this positive mood project, to encourage positive thinking. The goal is to create campaigns that inspire people to have positive impact on the state of mind of those around them. Combine a selfless way of giving and receiving to increase state of mind awareness amongst individuals, resulting in the creation of a positive mood. So they're doing this thing with iPods at the moment, and they're basically getting people in some way to give these iPods out. So I'm not quite sure. Campaigns, I received an iPod, I'm ready to give my Apple iPod away. Now, you know what? I think we've got a fourth generation, probably third generation white iPod somewhere, for fairly chunky one, 60 gig. I should dig that out. I've also got a transmitter for an iPod Nano from the original one, which I no longer use, so I should probably give that away as well. Next link today is stompboxnetworks.com, home of the Stompbox, a mobile 3G Wi-Fi router project. Now, we've done some thinking pretty similar to this about getting a 3G Wi-Fi router box together, in terms of having three or four different networks and a master switch that controls all of them to make a bigger pipe. What this guy's done, he's took a board that you can actually buy. I'm trying to remember what the name of the board was, but it's a very custom motherboard. And on that motherboard, it's actually got two soldered on PCMCI slots. And I presume that they use some kind of Linux boot-up system for it. But it's as good as just having a 12-volt supply. You literally put this unit in the back of the car. He's wired on some additional linkages up to it so that he can have aerials outside of the car. And it just boots up and creates a wireless WAN, basically, in the car, so you can connect all your things to it. Now, it was originally an article that was wrote for Make magazine, but I think I need to follow it up and find out how far they got with this, because if this board still exists and you can still buy it, it can take two PCMCI cards, which is pretty cool, because you could have HSPDA, you could have two of those, and it's also got a compact flash slot, so you could boot up, you know, something like Tiny Linux, or even that piece of software that I saw. I'm trying to think who sent it me now. I think it might have been Macney. Richard.macney.com, he sent me a link to a piece of software which combined 3G connections. So maybe you could boot up with that and detect things on this. I think there's a big demand for it. I think there's a demand for having wireless in the car. And I think, you know, the first, or a group of people who get together and build something like this, are, you know, they're going to make quite a nice little bit of money from it. Next link today is researchers over... This is pretty hardcore, actually. Researchers unveil persistent BIOS attack methods. So forget updating virus software, forget updating, you know, firewalls. This is incredibly low level. This is at BIOS level. Now, if you don't know what the BIOS is the chip on your motherboard that allows your computer to do things. So that's a little bit of a broad statement, but the BIOS is almost like the controller of all the elements that are on the board. So the hard drives, the memory, the chip, it's all controlled and governed by the BIOS. It's a little bit like Tron, really, or Linux and the kernel. Same sort of thing, but on a hardware level, not software, hardware level. And these researchers in March, one of them looks a bit like Gandalf's younger brother, was talking about the fact that it's very easy to install code into the BIOS that is resident even through a power off, which is a huge deal. You know, this is like game over, really, if this can get into basically pretty much any BIOS. And I presume they'll roll it out for all kinds of different BIOS. And I can imagine this would be one of the first places that hackers are going to probably start to look at next is how to exploit the EFI boot process of a Mac and how they can sort of put some vulnerability code into that. So basically what happens, what they say in this blog report, this guy demonstrated a method of patching the BIOS with a small bit of code that gave them complete control of the machine. And the best part, the method worked on a Windows machine, a PC running OpenBSD, and another running VMware player. The work by the core team follows on research done on persistent rootkits by John Heishman of NGSS, who was able to devise a method for placing rootkits on PCs using the memory space of PCI cards. In a presentation at Black Hat DC in 2007, Heishman showed a complete working method for loading the malware onto a PCI card, so that's your video card, by using the flashable ROM on the device. He also had a way to bypass the Windows NT kernel and create fake stack pointers. At that point, it's game over. We're executing 32-bit code in ring zero. Huge, huge thing. I mean, obviously, what will happen is the BIOS makers will change things. They'll look at the BIOS, how they can fix it. But it's just a whole new area. And you have to think as well that it's probably something that people have known about for some time. If they were talking about it in 2007, you can pretty sure that they probably did it 2 years before that. Some kind of working concept, some kind of prototype. And if that's the case, how many machines around the world have been compromised, you know, for zombie bots or whatever via this method compared to the one that we know about, which is you know, having programs that you've downloaded from BitTorrents or programs that have a fake executable in them in some way. Scary stuff for computer users, because you can't protect against it via firewalls or virus scanning. So it's just not in that sort of space. It's in the hardware space. Next link today. This is a really, excuse my voice, it's completely breaking. This is a really good written out blog post about building a Hackintosh by Ben Schkiman. I can't even pronounce his second name. I'm sorry about that. Over on flux88.com. He's put together a very simple list of hardware, what you actually need to be able to install Leopard. And he says it's pretty stable. He's listed the motherboard, the Core 2 Duo that he bought, and the NVIDIA and the memory. And it's not a lot of money. I mean, you're looking at under $500 for building a Mac. So go check it out. It's over on flux88.com. Final link today is dropspots.org/find. Very simple site right now, but it's very similar to the geolocation, geotagging stuff that you see. It's about drop spots, and I presume that they're going to sort of escalate this so that you can create drop spots and leave certain things in there. It could add a whole new level to tweet ups as well. And I'm starting to see that things are starting to branch out from the computer nerdy side of geo stuff to be this sort of geolocation, tweet up, mash up, you know. Geo games, I think, are going to be quite huge over the next couple of months. That's it for today. I'll speak to you tomorrow. That is, if I've got a voice. Cheers.